Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Labor for Rest. Now, that might sound somewhat of a contradiction in terms, because the very word labor, by definition, means to exert one's powers of body or mind, that is physically or mentally, especially with painful or strenuous effort. So labor, just the very sense of it, implies an extraordinary exertion of effort, which could even be painful. And sometimes, I guess, one way we could relate on a physical level, people say no pain, no gain. So if you're working out in a very serious way, there is some pain involved in getting one's body in the kind of shape you might want to be. And of course, mentally, sometimes there's very strenuous effort that's necessary for learning a new job or studying in school or whatever. So laboring does imply a real application of one's powers, physically or mentally, to whatever the task is at hand. And we're talking about laboring to enter into the rest of God. And I've been laying a foundation. We did read in Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 12, where the writer of Hebrews tells us, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. That's how that word that is described, that adjective, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." If we have confessed Jesus, it is possible, according to this passage, that if we backslide, if we allow a pattern of sin in our lives, our heart becomes hardened. And if we develop an evil heart of unbelief, one of the ways we can counteract that is by exhorting and encouraging one another daily, because every day there's a new series of challenges and trials and testings that face us in this life. And that's why we need one another. That's why the Word counsels us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. When at all possible, in terms of a local fellowship, there are times in our lives, seasons in our lives we may not be able to, or perhaps there might be sickness or infirmity where we're not able to physically go somewhere. We may not have transportation, and so that's why there's such a blessing in the media ministries of radio and television, because at least you can hear the word of the Lord. But the point is, we need one another so that we don't fall back into unbelief. Now, let me go on in the passage that I've wanted to share with you in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. And in verse 7, the word of the Lord says, "Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David," in other words, David was speaking in this Psalm 95, "today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." For, verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Verse 9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." So, in verse 8, what the word is saying here is, if Joshua had given them rest, in other words, the people of Israel, another translation would say, this new place of rest he's talking about is not what Joshua gave to those he led into the promised land. If God had meant that, he would not be talking about another still future day. And in verse 9 and 10, which is what actually is being declared, is the promised Sabbath rest. Verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. God rested, we know, on the seventh day. And so verse 11 goes on to say, let us labor, let us exert effort, beloved. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. We are promised a rest, beloved. That rest comes by faith, and the faith of God, which you have, because God has given to every man a measure of faith. And I've always been encouraged by the revelation. It's a very simple revelation, should be obvious, but the word tells us he's the author and finisher of our faith. And so then, if he began our walk of faith, if he gave us the faith to believe, then he is also going to perfect it. There is a cooperative work, if you will, that goes on that allows us, he gives us a challenge, and we say, yes, Lord, I can't do that on myself, but you're going to give me the grace. You're going to give me the faith. And so that very action is an expression of faith. Remember that dear father who came to the Lord in Jesus' time, and his son was demon-possessed, and the Lord was speaking to him of faith, and he said, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There's no more beautiful prayer that, yes, Lord, we do believe. We may have areas in our heart that it's hard for us to accept the wonderful victories you have given, but Lord, we do believe. Amen. And that's where God wants us to be today. God has promised to us as the children of Abraham some very specific things. And let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to Exodus, the third chapter. There were three things that God literally promised the children of Israel. And I'm going to read Exodus, the third chapter, verses 7 through 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The Lord knows your sorrows, beloved. Verse 8 says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. This is what was specifically spoken to the children of Israel while they were in the land of Egypt. This is what God was going to do for them. There were three things that God promised. He said he was going to take them out of Egypt. He was going to deliver them from slavery. He was going to bring them into the promised land, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Jebusites. And beloved, he fulfilled what he said he would do. He started that work through Moses. And Moses, because of disobedience, could not enter into that promised land, but he commissioned Joshua. Hands were laid upon Joshua, his servant, and Joshua fulfilled that work, that which was promised to the children of Israel, and they did enter into and subdued the promised land as God had spoken to Abraham. But beloved, we are also the children of Abraham by faith. And so Egypt for us represents the slavery of sin, the slavery of the carnal nature. And Canaan land, if you will, is our spiritual promised land. It's that place in the Spirit of God where we can walk in victory, we can walk in peace, we can walk in joy, we can receive all that He has promised us throughout the Word of God. He's promised us deliverance. Amen. He not only has delivered us from the bondage of sin when we're born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but He delivers us from every evil work. He brings us into a promised land. That's the spiritual promises of God. It's good, it's large, it's flowing with milk and honey. And what does that speak to our hearts? Well, milk, of course, is a symbol of the foundation food that is given to babies, to infants, and it's a symbol of wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the first food that is given not only to babies, but also to those who are young in Christ. Hebrews 5, 12 and 13 goes on to say, he's speaking to the same group of people, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." That was his charge against the Hebrews in this epistle, is that you should be eating meat. You ought to be more mature, but at this point you still need milk. And of course we know 1 Peter 2 and 2 tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. And of course, honey, naturally, that's a symbol of natural sweetness. It's a very wholesome sweet. In fact, diabetics can and others can eat. It's metabolized different than regular sugar, refined sugar. And it is a good food, but it's not for God's altar. But it represents, beloved, all that you and I need spiritually and naturally. Praise God. Well, my time has flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. And with the Lord's help, we will conclude on tomorrow's broadcast. But for now, I want to thank you for joining me. And I do want to thank you for your prayer support, UCM Partners, as well as for your blessed faithfulness. What a wonder this is, that this ministry has continued on for 50 years of continued radio broadcasting. So thank you again for your prayerful support. And I do encourage you, if you have prayer needs, just share them. You don't have to write a lot. Send an email or drop me a note at the P.O. Box. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.